So, what about God's Word? You know, it's sometimes that you sit and you read the things that have been written in the Bible, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I sit and I read them, and I'm sort of left thinking, well, yeah, that's a great account, but what does it mean for me? What does that have to do with my life? And the fact is that throughout the Bible, we find ways that God is making it personal for us. And so, as we go through these verses and as we go through our talk this morning, I want to personalize it all. And more importantly, I want you to personalize it. I don't want to personalize it for you. I want you to personalize it. And so when you read something like this great passage in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is talking to the people that had gathered around him, he's saying that to me. He's saying it to you. And so he would say, therefore, Jack, if you hear what I say and obey, you will be like a wise man or wise person who built your house on rock. Do you ever say that about yourself? Do you ever personalize it and say, therefore, Joe, therefore, Bob, therefore, Gary, therefore, Joe, therefore, George? I mean, you see what I'm getting at? Jesus wasn't just saying it to a big gang of people. He was saying it to me. If I hear what he says, and I obey it. Wow, that's a big if, isn't it, in our lives? But we need to do that. And so we need to make these things personal. Think about another proverb in Proverbs chapter 7. This past week, Clarence and I had the privilege of going over to Freedom's Door to meet with the gang there in the early morning. They have a Proverbs and prayer time where they just sit and they read one proverb and they read it over and over again, and or not over and over, but they read it verse by verse, and it goes around the group, and then each of the people in this group, they pray, and then they talk about what the proverb meant to them. And this last Tuesday, it was Proverbs 7, and these were part of the words in verses 2 and 3. And the reason why I included them is because it spoke about doing something very personal. And one of the guys said, you know, I write it down. I have to write it down. I have to write down the things that God says to me. And you know what? That's what God said a long time ago. We need to write them down and keep them in our hearts. I mean, how many promises of God have slipped our mind, have gone away, and we haven't written them down? Guard my words as your most precious possessions. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. So when you go to work, what's deep within your heart? What is it that is there, that comes out? What is your most precious possession? I would hazard to guess that for most of us, we probably wouldn't say it's God's Word, but it would be something else. Our most precious possession. However, God is calling us and saying, you know, this is the thing that's going to make a difference in your life forever. This is the thing that's going to make a difference as you live day by day. What do you need personally as you live for Him? What will you need tomorrow morning? Think of it. Picture it. You go to work. Well, you get up in the morning. And you go through all the little rituals that we go through in the morning. And you get off to work. And what happens? Are you challenged in your work when you go to your workplace? Do you face temptations? Are there ways that you can stumble? Are there ways that you would simply hide what you've claimed today here in this place? And we would say, well, that's a scary thing to do. I wouldn't want to tell people what I did at church. You know, standing around and praying for people. You know, we have to make these things personal. We have to live it. Tomorrow morning. Picture your life tomorrow morning. What are you going to do? And I want to tell you that Scripture is key. Scripture is key because it helps us. And the first thing that it helps us do is it helps us resist temptation. And as we live our lives, and as we know the promise that Scripture has, it reminds us, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what is it that comes to your mind when temptations come your way? And how many people never face temptations? Just a quick show of hands. I want to just be sure that I'm talking to most of you. Well, there it is. I mean, you know, I don't care what it is, whether it's temptation that comes in your internet, it's temptation that comes on your TV, it's temptation that comes in the form of a person in your workplace, the temptation that comes in the form of lingering on something that you know is not good for you and you just can't break away. If you have Scripture in your heart and in your life and you allow it to come to the front, it will help you resist temptation. Now, it doesn't keep you from falling to temptation, but it can help you resist it. You remember St. Augustine always said, well, you can't keep the birds from flying around your head, but you can keep them from building a nest. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to resist temptation, and Scripture helps us do that. Well, the Scripture does some other things. Scripture helps me make wise decisions. We all have decisions to make, whether they're decisions about our children, about our family, about our health, about our living, about the things that we do, about the choices that we make. We make decisions, and Scripture helps us to make wise decisions. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's an important thing. We always want to know, okay, so what is God's will? What should I be doing? What should I be doing with God's will? Well, if you want to live in the way that Jesus called us to live, you need to know what Jesus' words are. You need to know what Jesus says to us. This is nothing that's new to us, but we need to be reminded of it because we seem to forget. We seem to think that maybe Ann Landers has the key to the thing. And some people spend more time reading the newspaper than they would ever read reading their Bible. And I read the newspaper every day. I read several of them. But you know what? That never replaces what God's Word has to say to my life. And it never replaces what making a wise decision needs to look like in my life. And so I challenge you. Do you spend the time reading and personalizing what Scripture has to say? Well, another thing about Scripture, and just a very important thing, you know, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling down, you need something that will get you motivated again, get you heading in the right direction. Well, I want to tell you that Scripture strengthens you, strengthens me. Remember what you have said to me, your servant. I hang on to these words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. You know what? Life isn't... We all get to know, as time goes on, that life just doesn't always go our way, right? I mean, hello? Things happen in life. Family members die. Family members walk away from us. Sometimes partners, the same things happen. Life does not always seem to go the way we hoped it would. And yet, in the midst of those things, Scripture can strengthen our lives. It can be the thing that we hold on to in the bad times. It can be the thing that rejuvenates us when all else seems to be falling apart. I want to remind you that all of these things don't take place in isolation either. It's in the midst of stopping and praying for people that we love and care about in the community of people who are committed in faith that makes the difference in that scripture. It brings it to life. It brings it to life as we share together, as we care about each other. We can't do it. We can't do that in isolation. Scripture strengthens me. When hard times do come, we know that Scripture comforts us. I know many people here who've had great burdens in life and for whom Scripture has been a comfort. And not just the waving of Scripture. You're probably getting the picture now that I don't recognize this as a miracle, mystery giving book, that we just wave it around like a wand and all of a sudden all the happy things come about. But I want to say that in the midst of crisis, in the midst of pain, Scripture and God's promises can bring comfort to our lives because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy, my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. And you know that Jeremiah was called the suffering prophet, the crying prophet, the weeping prophet, and he was the one that called for comfort. And so we need to be people who recognize those things about Scripture. And we need to know, I mean, if you do nothing else out of all that we say today, and I don't have one of my little papers with me, you've got them. It's one of these. About personalizing Scripture. You see that if you do nothing else, learn these verses that are on the back of the paper, all from Philippians, all pertinent to your life, all reasonable, and they all speak to how we can live our lives. We need to be like that. And why wouldn't we? You know, this last week I heard about a little guy, and I'm not going to mention him because you remember last Sunday we gave out Bibles to our kids, and we gave out comic book Bibles, those big action Bibles. If you haven't seen them, you need to ask one of the little kids to show you. And they follow the form of a comic book. And so all the stories, rather than just being a page of writing like this, they're pages of pictures that depict the stories. And you've seen those Bibles before. This little guy took his Bible to school. It was show and tell day. And so what did he want to take? He wanted to take his Bible to show and tell people about it. And you know, the other kids in his class, they couldn't believe it. What? You've got a comic book Bible? I want one of those. I want to read. I want to know about that. I mean, it's profound. And Scripture makes a difference. That's Scripture. You know what? We said last week, God speaks to all of us in a way that relates to where we are in life. And to a kid, to a young child, God is speaking to them maybe through comic books that tell the story about Jesus. That probably wouldn't be adequate for most of us. But for him, that tells the story. And you know what? Even more, it tells the story so he can tell a friend. So have you found a story? Have you found a way to read God's Word that speaks to you? There's a zillion versions of the Bible today. You can get them on your computer. You know that. You know, go to BibleGateway.com. There's about 50 versions there in 50 different languages. And you can find one that speaks to you so that it comforts you and helps you. So, just so that we have practice, what I wanted us to do this morning, and I want us to do it just briefly, is to personalize some of these verses. And we're going to say them together again, because I believe that it helps us when we say verses together. So, let's put your name in there. And let's say it together. For God so loved Jack, so much that he gave his one and only son, so that Jack, who believes in him, will not perish, but have eternal life. Have you ever read that like that? I am certain that God, who began the good work within me, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Do you believe God is continuing to work in your life? That it wasn't just an event somewhere in the past? Sometime years ago, God is at work today. God is speaking to you today. Trust in me, Jack, with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek my will in all you do, and I will show you which path to take. This is a great passage. And I hope that you will, you know, maybe even go home and read it in your Bible and put your name in there. And recognize that God is saying to you, I am your shepherd, whoever you are. You shall not be in want. I make you lie down in green pastures. I lead you beside quiet waters. I refresh your soul. I guide you along the right paths for my name's sake. You see, God is speaking to us personally. This is not group speak. And so, therefore, everyone who hears the words or hears what I say and obeys it will be like a wise person who built a house upon the rock. Are you willing to do that? God wants you to. God is prepared to encourage you and help you to do that. So having said all of that, what good is it? Well, I want to just give you, and this is just really briefly, just four quick application elements that need to be present in your life. Okay? When you take scripture and you want to deal with it, you see on the back page there's some guidelines. The first one is it has to be personal. There's always somebody that will read something in Scripture and say, well, Jack, you need to do this. Or our church needs to do this. Or our Bible study needs to do this. Or you need to do this. Have you ever run into that? You know, and everybody's got a good word because they've read it and they know it, but they want to pass it on. And so, but I want to tell you that we need to make it personal. It needs to be, rather than you need to do it, it needs to be, I need to be. It needs to be personal. I need to do this. When you read Scripture this week, do it personally. Do it personally. And then it needs to be practical. You know, I mean, if I say I wanted to really start exercising and change my whole lifestyle, which I do want to do, and I do need to do it. So I need to make it personal. So it says, okay, Jack, I need to exercise. But then it needs to be practical. If I say, well, I'm going to do that, I need to say what I'm going to do. Well, I need to exercise what? Regularly. And so we need to do that. What biblical thing do you need to do? Maybe pray. I need to spend time praying. Well, then it needs to be, and going along with the letter P, it needs to be something that's possible. You know, if you say, or if I say, I need to exercise and I'm going to do it 3 hours a day, or you're going to say, I need to pray and I need to pray regularly and I'm going to need to pray 3 hours a day, well, you've just lost. I don't know. I've known some great prayer people, but I haven't known anyone who prays every day for 3 hours. You know, just sits and prays for 3 hours every day every day, every day. And so we need to make it possible, because, you know, one of the things that happens in our lives, if we set the goal so high and we can't achieve it, what do? We chuck it. I mean, hence we have New Year's resolutions that some people have done them year after year after year, same thing, same results. They don't do it because they set the goal too high. So say you're going to pray. Say you're going to read your scriptures, read the Bible. If you just say, I'm going to read one of these verses each day, for some of us, that will be a step up, because we need to do it. We need to target something. Why don't we just do that? So I want to encourage you, fold this little piece of paper, put it in your pocket, and then pull it out and just say, wow, that's the verse. Or stick it on the bathroom mirror so that when you get up in the morning, you say, okay, that's my verse today. At least I've read it. And there it is. And think about it and pray about it all day. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do something that's possible. Possible. And the last thing is that if I wasn't trying to be illiterate, I would have just used it, the word measurable. But provable fits in with the four P's. So in the end, it has to be something that we want to measure. You know, if I'm going to exercise, it needs to be measurable. I need to do it, you know, and I need to come to a conclusion that I'm going to do three times a week for half an hour. You know, that's the bottom line. You got to do it. Do it. If you're going to read the scriptures, you have to read them. And believe me, if you just start off and you say, I'm just going to read the one scripture a day for this whole week, that's a step in the right direction. Do it. That's a step in the right direction. So we need to do these things. We need to make it personal. Scripture needs to be applied to our lives. And the simple reason is that everyone hears what he says and obeys it will be like a wise person who built a house on the rock. That's where we need to go. So my prayer for us is that we will make Scripture personal. Make it personal for your life and apply it as you live. Father, you have blessed us and you continue to bless us individually, as a church family. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue to meet and as we continue to worship you in this place week by week, that you will bring us together, that you would draw us together, that you would continue to give us strength. Gracious Father, we thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to say that one of the things that happened, or that's happening today, some of you know Andrew, who often comes here and worships with us from Freedom's Door. He's actually responded to a call to be baptized, and a bunch of guys from Freedom's Door, and many of the guys that usually come here, they're all at Trinity this morning, because Trinity's baptizing a bunch of them, and so they're all being baptized in that place today. So that's really exciting. Young guys who have been challenged in their experience. Come on up. Challenged in their life and their experience are following the Lord. So just remember Andrew and the rest of the young guys that often come here.